Matthew chapter 5, we'll be picking up at verse 27. You know, I'm a very handy person when it comes to fixing things. And to demonstrate that, on one occasion, I noticed in my shower, which my house is over 100 years old. It was built in 1904, and it looks like it was built in 1904. And I was noticing in the shower, we've had different issues in our bathroom, and noticed that the grout had worn, and there's like pieces out and stuff. And I was concerned about the water getting in, mostly because I can't get caulking to stay good in there. So one day I thought I was going to be handy, and I decided I was going to fill that in. And I followed the instructions to the grout to a T that says put it in and wait for a certain period of time for it to dry and then wipe it off, not realizing that you actually have to wipe it off pretty quickly, otherwise you have cement all over your bathroom wall, your shower wall. So now my shower is beautifully decorated with grout smeared in different places in the shower. So I had a problem that was probably small and probably a lot of people could have fixed, but I didn't know how to fix it. Have you ever been in that place before where you've had problems, whether it's plumbing problems? And I know there's times where I look at the plumbing problem and I think, I don't want to pay a plumber to come in and fix this. There's got to be an easy fix. I don't want to have to bother Sean or other people I know how to do plumbing. Or you look at other things like wall issues. Anybody have boys and you had holes in your walls? Okay, that just happens on occasion. I know it's easy to fix it or work with your car or health issues, something wrong with your body. And you're thinking, I know this is simple. There's an easy fix for it. I just can't figure it out. I don't know how to solve this problem. And sometimes we do it with technology. We know there's a thing that this device will do. We know it does it. We can't figure out how to make it do it, and we don't want to ask somebody else to help us because we don't want them to think that there's something wrong with us because that's easy to do. Have you ever asked someone to help you and within a quick switch of something, it was fixed? Have you ever had that before? And you're like, well, that was dumb. I can't believe I couldn't figure that out. Okay? We have problems in life that we want to be able to fix, and we know there's a solution. We can't figure it out. And perhaps out of all of those problems, the one problem that is the most significant is when I keep giving into temptation and failing and sinning. The sin problem that I have in my life. We know there's a solution. We know there's a way to stop because we've seen other people be changed and transformed. But we have a sin problem before us and we cannot figure out how to fix that. Have you ever looked at yourself, and I don't mean physically, I mean your character and the kind of person you are. Have you ever thought about who you were and you thought, I'm an ugly person? You thought about what you were feeling and thinking. You thought about maybe some of the things you've said to other people, and we often say those things to the closest people in our lives, some of the things you've done, and you thought, I'm an ugly person. And you look at other people, and you see how wonderful they are to people, and how nice they are, and how holy they are, and how passionate they are for the Lord, and you think, I wish I could be like that person, and it only makes you feel worse, doesn't it? I am such an ugly person. And maybe you found yourself in places where you thought, I hope they never know. I hope that the people around me never know what kind of a person I am. And you don't think that just because you don't care and you don't have anything good within you in the sense of that you give yourself to the Lord and you have some good features and characters, but you just don't know how to fix it. You don't know how to resolve it. You don't know how to be the right kind of person. And maybe you found yourself just wishing, I wish I could be more self-controlled. I wish I could be more in control of myself. I wish I could have a clearer conscience before God to know what it was like to stand before God and have no guilt, no shame, but to know that I've pleased Him and done the right thing or be before other people and feel that way. Or I've wished that I would just know how to stop this whole thing and be free from the things that I face. Or maybe you've looked at the consequences that you recognize. I did that. I caused those consequences in my life, and I wish that I could make that different. I wish I could overcome my sin. Well, I have good news for you this morning. You can defeat sin. You can overcome the sin in your life. And we can do that if we follow the advice that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 5. Look with me, if you will, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 27. Jesus says this, You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful eye causes already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Pretty extreme measures to say to gouge out your eye. And I'm guessing that none of you have put that into practice, being that I see that you all have two eyes and two hands. Now, he says a couple of things we want to clarify before we get into his advice to us on how we can overcome sin. And one is, it's better to enter into eternal life maimed than to go into hell. Does he mean that if we get into heaven, we're going to actually be missing a hand or an arm or missing an eye? Does he actually literally mean that we should be gouging out our eyes whenever we committed lust? And I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 guys in this room should have no eyeballs in their skull, if I know how men are, okay? And we know that Jesus, because we have figurative language in the Bible, Jesus isn't literally telling us to maim ourselves. But we want to know, then, what is he saying to us when he uses that extreme language? And just like a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, when we looked at the anger issue, we want to note again that Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, and he quotes the Bible, the Old Testament. And then he says, but I say to you. Now, who can say, God says, but listen to what I say, except for God himself? And so this is, and people will say, Jesus never claimed to be God. You're not paying attention well enough to read between the lines when he does claim to be the Lord. But also, he says, you shall not, the two sin focuses that he gives is adultery and lust. And if you lust, you've committed adultery in your heart, he says. Now, the English Standard Version that I just read says the look at a woman with lustful intent. Now, other translations, like the King James says, looketh to lust. Who says that today? Looketh. I looketh at the game on the TV today. I read ESV. NIV says looks lustfully. NASB says looks with lust for her. New King James Version says looks to lust for her. Now, I don't know if the line is that you recognized she's pretty and that means you committed adultery. I don't know where that line is, but somewhere in there, if your thoughts begin to do something, you've crossed a line and you've committed lust, and you've also committed adultery within your heart when you've done that. And that's something that you and I need to pray about, a clear conscience with that on what's going on within our minds. But here's a challenge we're going to find ourselves in when we look at our sin. And we tend to go to different extremes, and we tend to misunderstand things. And I want to make sure I don't give you the wrong impression. I'm not saying that you and I can beat our past sins. We can't do anything about our past sins. We can't deliver ourselves from that. We can't escape judgment from that. The only way that we can do something about our past sins is by asking Jesus to do something in our lives to give us the mercy and grace that we need. We are helpless when it comes to that. But when I say we can beat sin, I'm talking about when temptation is standing in front of you and you have a choice to make, you can make the right choice in that space. Now, I know that it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that, but we have the capacity, when faced with temptation, to choose not to sin. So when I say we can beat sin, that's what I mean. Is that clear? Okay, so I want to make sure that we understand that. I don't want anybody to think I'm a false teacher, like all the other people in my life that think that. Just kidding. So how can I overcome this sin? The way I overcome sin is by following the advice that Jesus gives us here in Matthew 5. The first advice is, notice he says you shall, and he says adultery and lust are the two things he focuses on that we shall not do. And he says that you shall not do it because if you've lusted, you've done it in your heart. Now this is where we discover the ugly kind of person that we are. Because he says to us, listen, I know you didn't say what you wanted to say, but you thought it and you felt every bit of it. I know you didn't do what you wanted to do, but you desired it, you craved after it. And he demonstrates for us that we are messed up on the inside. And the reason why he points it out, just like he does with the you shall not commit murder, but if you've hated your brother or been angry with your brother, you've committed it in your heart as well. The reason why he says that is because if you want to defeat sin, it starts right in here. It starts with dealing with the desires and the cravings and the way that your heart looks now. And so our first space in there to do something is that we need to face our true selves. We need to be willing to look at ourselves and admit, that's who I am. I didn't do that. I didn't act on it. But that's what I feel. That's the way that I think. That's who I am right now. And it starts by facing that. So what do we do with this heart then? Well, the first thing we do, and you have the references in your outline there, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The first thing I need to do is be monitoring my heart. And no, I don't mean that you need some kind of electrical device to see what you're feeling, your heart rate is, and all of those things. I mean that you need to be aware of what you're feeling and why you're feeling it, what you're craving and why you're craving it. And when you do good things and serve people, what are your motivations? Are you doing it for them and out of your love for them? Are you doing it to glorify the Lord? Are you doing it because you want some attention or because you want to be important in someone's life? And we need to be aware of why we are doing the things we're doing and what we feel and what we're thinking. And the reason is because if we're aware of it, this is why Jesus teaches these things here and with the anger, is because if you begin to recognize it before it gets out of hand, that's when you start to beat it. You have to beat it at its source, and that is where the desire sits. Then Romans 12:2, and our missionary last week shared this with us, Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to be testing everything that comes in and out of us. In of us, as far as what you're watching and you're reading and you're listening to and the conversations you're having and the things that are coming into you, your music and the things on your devices, you need to be asking yourself, what is this doing to me? Now, that does not mean that you can't listen to anything or read anything, and that doesn't mean those boundaries, though we need to pray through those boundaries. But we have to be asking ourselves, is this good for me? Is this having a bad effect on me? Instead of, what do we do when we usually watch TV? The term veg out, okay? We turn into like a comatose state, and we go zombie style, and we don't know what's happening anymore. That's not the way the Lord wants us to live unless you're sleeping. And we need to begin to test what's happening when this comes inside of me, but also when this goes out of me. What is going out of me? When you say, what does Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you say something, have you ever said something and said, well, I didn't mean that? Yeah, you did. At least a little bit. Or when you're getting sarcastic and snarky and stuff, when you say something, you think, I was just joking. You might have been joking about part of it, but you meant some of it in there. And when you say things, even when you say things, do you ever talk to yourself? Do you ever yell at other people who aren't in front of you? Have you ever had that before? You got mad and you get in the car and I can't believe that person, and you say those things. Pay attention to what you're saying, because what's coming out of you when you speak, when you do things, is showing you the condition of your heart. And so we need to be alert and aware, pay attention, and testing these things. And then Ephesians 4:22-24 has these statements. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So when we begin to ask, what should I do? What is appropriate? And how should I behave? You know where you look? You don't look to say, how does Danny do this? You don't look to Helen Jane or Donovan and ask, what are they doing? What is their standard? Because sometimes we do that and we think, well, I'm as good as them. I'm doing all right. I'm just at least doing better than that guy over there. That's not the measure we're held up to. You know what the measure we're held up to? How does God respond to these things? What does God do? And pretty quickly, if you begin to measure up to God or try to, you start to notice there's quite a bit of distance between the way he would respond and the way I would respond. And as you begin to look at that, there should be something that happens within you, a conviction that sets in that says, okay, all right, this needs to be different. I need to change this. Other people might be doing that. Other people might be okay with that. Other people might give in to that pressure, but I'm not measuring myself up to them. I'm measuring myself up to God, and boy, do I have a lot to live up to. And then Hebrews 4:12, the writer of Hebrews says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's one thing to pray and ask God to show you something. It's another thing to look at the statements of Scripture staring you in the face, which is much difficult to argue with than to say, the Lord's not saying that. I'm hearing something different. Have you ever heard people say that to you? I'm just hearing something different. You can do that when it comes to God's voice directly to you. But when the Bible is staring you in the face and says, don't do that, what are you going to do with that? But some of us aren't actually running to the Bible and consuming it regularly. There's a reason why we need to read it daily and consume it and study it and memorize it often. Because when we do, we know what is the standard that we're supposed to live by and what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you, if you do it, you have been able to discover the statement I've heard before. You start reading the Bible, and before you know it, you find that the Bible's reading you and revealing to you, oh, that's who I am. But you don't get that if you're not going to the Bible. So if I'm going to defeat this thing called sin, then I need to be consuming the Word. I need to be doing these things with my heart. And then lastly, under that umbrella there, Titus 3:5, Paul says, he saved us not because of works done of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God in our lives. But if we just have the Word and we're not encountering the presence of the Holy Spirit working in us and filling us and captivating us and delighting in His presence, we are nothing more than the Pharisees. And if you remember a few weeks ago when we read that passage that said that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, we're not in a good place. We need to let the Holy Spirit do His work in us, and that means you need to abide in Him, dwell in Him, spend time with Him. If you think that I don't have the strength to resist this, what does your prayer life look like? How connected do you feel to the Lord? What does your consumption of the Word of God look like? Are you testing the things in your life? Are you evaluating things? Are you paying attention to your heart and keeping alert? If you're not, there might be a right reason why the thing came out of your mouth before you could pull it back in. There might be a reason why when temptation faced you, you crossed the line. Because you're just expecting God to just deliver you on a whim when He shows you what we need to do with this heart of ours. Secondly, the advice He gives us beyond facing ourselves, as I had read, He says about your right eye and your right hand, that if it causes you to sin, okay, this is where we're going to get the analogy here, because I know I'm not supposed to pluck out my eye. I know I'm not supposed to cut off my hand, but there's something going on here. And the analogy is there is an object, whether it was the eye or the hand, there is an object that is doing what? It's causing me to sin. And whatever that thing is that is causing me to sin, I need to cut it out and get it out of my life. So if you are struggling with lust and you have dove into something like pornography, whatever is the source that you use to consume that, it might be worth giving up the internet, your computer, your phone. My phone is my lifeline. I heard a comedian once say that aliens, not that there are aliens, look down from the stars and they always just assume that this was a part of our body. Because it's always in our hands everywhere we go. Okay? TV that you're watching, the shows you're watching, but it's such a good show, and I enjoy that show, and I talk with my friends about that show, and I don't want to be out of the loop, and I want to watch that show. If that show is causing you to sin, get rid of the show. Get rid of the music if it's causing you to sin. Now, I'm not saying you have to cut out TV and you have to get rid of your phone and have to get rid of the internet. I'm just saying if there is a thing that you're recognizing, it's causing me to sin, Jesus just said it to us, cut it out of your life. If there's a relationship that you have, a person that you're engaged with, and when you engage in them, they cause you to sin, get out of that relationship. Extreme measures must be taken to get out of sin. Why? Because we're kind of helpless. Okay? We really can't get this right. We mess this all up. And so if we want to do something about it, cut out the things that are causing us to sin. Lastly, and this is where there's some confusion on a right reaction to this idea, but Jesus had said the person who does not do something about this sin, the concern is that he will be thrown into hell, or he will go into hell. Now, what I don't want us to get confused about, no, this doesn't mean that every time you commit sin, you've now crossed into the territory that if I die at this moment, I'm going to hell. However, if you continue to give yourself over to sin and give yourself over to sin and give yourself over to sin, there needs to be a caution within us, whether that means that we lost our salvation or it means we were never saved to begin with. It doesn't really matter. The question is, at some point, we have to say, there's a danger here. If I keep crossing these lines, if I keep living this way, Jesus says, these people, they're going to be the ones who go into hell. And if I keep saying, I'm just going to live the way I want to, whether I'm saying it with my mouth or doing it with my actions, there is a concern with sin. And so I hope that you hear me. I'm not telling you, again, like I said, that if you struggle with any sin, that means you're not saved and you're going to hell. But I'm saying that it is that serious. Your sin in your life, it is that serious to consider that, where is this taking me? And if we don't take it that serious, there's a reason why we keep doing the sin that we do. We don't think it's that serious. I mean, who in their mind would choose, yeah, I want to go to hell, you know, burning in agony and a fire for all eternity, suffering loss of all the things you ever wanted in life and all comforts, and it just never ends? Sign me up. Okay? Nobody really is into that. But plenty of people are into sin, aren't they? Because they don't think that the two are linked to one another. They don't get the concern. And if you took sin that seriously, there would be a hesitation in me. Now, that again, it doesn't mean we don't have mercy, because Paul says that now there is no, therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He says that if we sin, John says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, correct? So there is forgiveness for us, and we can do it. This is a serious thing. Jesus wants us to overcome our sin, and I'm telling you, we can do it. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? I am telling you, with absolute confidence, we can beat the sin in our lives. Again, with the clarification, it's the Holy Spirit doing it through us, and we are not capable in and of ourselves, but I'm telling you, if we do the things that Jesus tells us to do, we can beat lust, we can beat anger and hatred, we can beat impatience and unkindness and lacking in gentleness. We can beat being lukewarm and apathetic. We can beat those things. And I'm telling you, you want to beat those things. Because just like I said, when you look in the mirror and you see that person's ugly, I'm ugly. You deep down, you don't want to be that, do you? We want to be pure before God. We want to be holy before God. We want to live the way he wants us to live. We want that. How much are you craving that this morning? So as the worship team begins to lead us, there is plenty of space up here in this altar area. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're here this morning and you are so shaky about where your faith is this morning because you're seeing your lifestyle and you're looking at who God is and you're saying, I'm shaky about where I am with the Lord this morning. And you are not confident that you are right with Jesus in the salvation way. All you have to do is come to Jesus this morning. He wants to invite you into his kingdom. So if you are shaky on that and you need to get right with Jesus, right down at these altars, there's a place for you. I encourage you to come. You don't need to wait till I'm done talking. Just come and seek him and get things right with him. Maybe some of you need to make a sacrifice. There's something in your life. The thing itself is not sin. The thing itself is not bad, but it's causing you to sin. But it means so much to you. There's things that that thing does for you, but it's causing you to sin. And you're recognizing, I need to cut that thing out of my life. And in an act of demonstration that you're going to leave that at the altar this morning and sacrifice whatever that thing is, Don't just stand in your seats and say that to God, demonstrate physically to him, I'm coming, I'm laying this at the altar, and I'm giving that thing up to you this morning. Come and seek him at the altar this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you need to deal with your heart and a renewal of the Holy Spirit in you. You love the Word of God, and you read it, and you study it. You come to church, and you do different things, but you don't feel the passionate burning of the Holy Spirit in your life like you once did, and you need that revived in you this morning, because that's what defeats it, allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of us, and you're lacking that. Don't miss the opportunity to come down at these altars and seek him and say, Lord, let that Holy Spirit move in me. So come and seek him. Come and seek him. Lord, let the Holy Spirit burn inside of us. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Hallelujah. Come and seek him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the mixture of the holy expectations that God has on us. In fact, it's the end of this chapter where Jesus made that statement, you must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It is the mixture of the expectations that Jesus has on us while swooping in and providing the grace and mercy that we need because we're so far from that, that makes him such a beautiful Savior. Because he's not just the one who's just the permissive parent that just lets us live however we want it to, even if it destroys ourselves and others. He's not like that. But he's also not the domineering parent that just crushes you every time you fail either. He is the perfect, that's why Jesus, or John says that he was full of grace and truth. He is the perfect blend of both. Now I want just for a moment, if your head's bowed and eyes closed with me just for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It is highly preferable that when the Lord is tugging at your heart in a service, that you come down at the altar and deal with it there. And not that it's a magical place, it's just there's something about coming away from your seat where you were and doing something. It is highly preferable to be willing to confess before others that you need something happening in your life than to keep that secret. However, I don't want to miss but you would need that if for whatever reason you were reluctant to come forward, but you would say, you didn't come forward and you would say, I needed this advice that Jesus gives. There's a sin I need set free of. There's a strength I need to be able to cut certain things out of my life. There's a working of the Holy Spirit that I need in me because something's missing. And if that's you this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, I didn't come forward, but boy, do I need that. I would like you to pray for me for that. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me, I need that. Good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. Or maybe you're here this morning, head still bowed and eyes still closed, you're here and you'd say, I am not right with Jesus. Not. I may have called myself a Christian, I might have been religious, a churchgoer, I might have had different things going, but I am not right with Jesus right now and I want that to change. Please pray with me. If that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, would you lift your hand? Okay, good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? Lord, thank you for these that are saying, calling out to you and saying that they have need of you. And I ask that you would meet them where they are. And I ask that you would help them to have the courage to connect with what's available to them. You have given us gifts in the body, people who teach and admonish and support, pray. And I ask that you would encourage them to step out and take advantage of that and seek discipleship. Because it's not about just some kind of one-time pledge. It's a lifelong pursuit to following Jesus. Help them to do that. Give them the Holy Spirit. And give us freedom from sin, Lord. Sure, every one of us could stand in this place and say, there's something wrong in me. Give us freedom from that so that we can be the light and the salt that you talked about earlier in this chapter, so that we can bring glory and honor to you by drawing others to you. We thank you for what you're doing, and we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm telling you, when you see who you are, you realize just how much you need his mercy, don't we? Amen. We're going to do something a little unique today, and you are not required to participate in this, and you could be seated. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss, but I had asked certain individuals to get ready, if you guys would do that now. So we got John and Joe and George Briney. Yep, you can get it. Did you get, you didn't get the text, did you? Okay. You were looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. George, if you can get in your place, and Diane, and Cindy, and Joyce, and Joyce, get in your place, and you're wondering what they're doing. The Bible says that we're to confess our sins to one another. That we're to come to the elders of the church and to pray for one another. That we're to admonish each other. And did you know that the possessor of those gifts and those things is not just me? And there's something to getting together with other people to minister to one another. And so what we're going to do when I dismiss in a moment is the ones that are standing at certain spots here, they have some discussion questions they want to ask of you, and they want to grow with you, and they want to ask to pray with you, and they want to find out what you need prayer for. Would you like that? Would you like to have someone pray for you about some specific things and talk with you? So when I dismiss in a moment, you can leave if you feel led to leave, but these guys would love to minister to you, and I encourage you to find one of these guys and let them minister to you, minister to one another before we go. Now, a question before you go, though. Have you ever had commitment issues? Have you ever struggled with being committed to something? Well, next Sunday, we're going to look into Jesus talking about our commitment issues. Did you know Jesus talks about that also? So we're going to look at that next week, but if you would, I'm going to pray, and then feel free to find one of these individuals. So just note who they are, because once everybody stands, you won't be able to see Joyce anymore. So just note where they are. But let's pray, and I love you guys. Thank you for being here, and let's continue to let the Holy Spirit work. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, and we ask that as we continue along with each other in fellowship, that you would touch us, draw us closer to each other. We are the body of Christ, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.